Hey, God bless you guys. Welcome to Summit Church. We're beginning a brand new message series today called Invisible, and I hope you're going to hang out with us all month long. We don't tend to think about the invisible until there's, of course, something that we're looking for that we can't seem to find, and we feel like those things are invisible to us. But when we go searching, they tend to be for the most important things in our lives, right? Or things that matter to us. So it's probably nearly impossible for you to have not heard of Gabby Petito or Brian Laundry. And the reason that is because, of course, both of those names have been in the news for some time now, because Gabby had disappeared from a cross-country trip that her and her boyfriend Brian had taken together. Brian returned back home without Gabby and didn't report her missing until her family finally did, several days after they returned home. And so there was an intense search with law enforcement and volunteers to find her. The hope was she would be found alive, and if you've been watching the news, you know tragically that wasn't the case. Well, the coroner soon ruled that her death was a homicide, which of course made Brian the number one and I believe only suspect in her homicide. But by the time that they made that ruling, he was long gone. And they have been searching for him ever since. That's what the news cycle has been. Day after day after day, morning, noon, and night, the search for Brian Laundry. Maybe I should be more specific. Actually, the unsuccessful search for him. And I'm not pointing fingers or blaming anyone. It's just frustrating. It's almost hard to believe at this point, with all of the local law enforcement, with the FBI, with the volunteers, with what they're calling social media vigilantes, all of these people who are helping search and using social media to do that. Even the TV reality star Dog the Bounty Hunter is involved in the search and announcing that he's found a campsite that they were at and he's within hours of arresting him and bringing him in. But the truth is, as of the time that we're doing this right now, he has not yet been found. And here's the point I'm trying to make. This is an important search. This really, really matters. You see, he's a person that everyone is searching for, yet he remains unfound. Now, I don't think it's going to stay that way. If it hasn't happened very quickly, it will happen, I think, quickly, is that they're ultimately going to find him. They're going to bring him in and maybe find out more about what happened. Here's why. There's so many people. There's so much money. There's so many resources. There's so much time. There's so much determination and focus on finding someone who's not yet been found. Increasing the intensity of this search until it's successful. And that's how searches work, is if you invest the time, the energy, the focus, the resources, the money, everything into it. Hidden things can only be found when we're that intentional. Hidden things are found when we're no longer okay with them staying hidden from us. You see, when we decide that, when we decide they're no longer going to stay hidden, then the important things, the things that matter, the things that are truly, truly important, only stay invisible to those who don't want to find them, to those who don't want to search. Jesus did this great job of contrasting what it looks like for those who things are invisible to and those who things are seen. And listen to what he says in Matthew 13, 15 through 16. The disciples came up and asked, and if you remember last week, I talked about Jesus always speaking in parables. The disciples came up and asked, "Why do you tell stories, parables?" He replied, "Well, you've been given insight into God's kingdom. You know how it works. Not everybody has that gift, this insight. It hasn't been given to them. Whenever someone has a ready heart for this," did you hear that? "The insights and understanding flow freely. But if there's no readiness, If they don't want to search, they don't want to find truth, any trace of receptivity soon disappears. That's why I tell stories, to create readiness, to nudge the people towards welcome awakening. I love that. In their present state, they can stare till doomsday and not see it, listen till they're blue in the face and not get it. I don't want Isaiah's forecast, his prophecy, repeated all over again. And this is what Isaiah said: your ears are open, but you don't hear a thing. Your eyes are awake, but you don't see a thing. The people are stupid. They stick their fingers in their ears so they won't have to listen, and they screw their eyes shut so they won't have to look, so they won't have to deal with me face to face and let me heal them. But you, this is Jesus now speaking, but you have God-blessed eyes, eyes that see, and God-blessed ears, ears that hear. A lot of people, prophets and humble believers among them, would have given anything to see what you're seeing, to hear what you're hearing, but never had the chance. Doesn't that sound amazing? To be on the side of those who hear truth and see truth and find and discover and realize the important things that are invisible to others, that others cannot see. Wouldn't you rather see what matters most? And that's what we're going to be spending these next weeks talking about, is searching for the things that matter most that are sometimes hidden to us. But maybe we can talk about what stands in the way of that happening and how to change that. So grab your notes, open your apps. To discover and experience what's hidden from me, I need to, number one, change what I'm searching for. Change what I'm searching for. Listen to what 1 John 2:15 through 17 says. Do not love this world, nor the things it offers you. For when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. You can only love one or the other. Jesus said this, you can only serve one master or the other. For the world offers only a craving for physical pleasures, a craving for everything we see, and pride in our achievements and possessions. These are not from the Father. These are not what's most important, but they are from the world. And this world is fading away. It's rusting, it's corrupting, along with everything that people crave. But anyone who does what pleases God will live forever. You know, we live in one of the most wealthy countries on the entire planet. Actually, we in California live in the fifth wealthiest state, and we are the fifth largest. If we were a country in and of ourselves, we would be the fifth largest economy on the entire planet. More money moves through California than almost everywhere else on the planet. And what do we do with all of the money, all of the wealth that we have here in America, that we have here in California, and that we have here in our own lives? And you may not think you're wealthy, but if you had traveled with me all the places I've been across the globe, in South America, in Central America, in Africa, in India, in Europe, I could tell you with certainty you are richer than most of the country, even if you are considered low income here. So we are wealthy, wealthy people. And here's what we do with our money. We crave more. With all that we have, we still crave more. We crave greater beauty. Listen, $16.5 billion gets spent annually on cosmetic plastic surgery. We crave more power. In 2020, just last year alone, politicians spent a record-breaking, more than they ever had before, $14.4 billion in order to get into positions of power or maintain their positions of power. That should tell you how important those positions of power are to them. We crave more stuff. Last year, in 2020, we spent a staggering, listen, $792 billion in online retail purchases alone. Online alone. And here's something fascinating. One out of every three of those dollars went to Amazon. That's how much we spend just online in retail purchases. But it's not just stuff. We want our stuff to give us prestige, importance. We want to feel like our status has been increased. Americans topped global spending in 2020 during the pandemic, mind you, with spending $64.8 billion on luxury items. Now, what's the point to all of that? Here's the point. With all of that spending, with all of that getting, with all of that accumulating, we still are so unhappy and unfulfilled that last year we needed to spend, in 2020, $238.4 billion on mental health services. All of the money we spent trying to be happier and trying to feel more content and trying to feel more enriched, trying to feel more important, trying to feel more influential, we were still unhappy. Now, don't break out in a cold sweat. Don't get nervous. Don't think because you own a flat screen, large TV, or a nicer car that you're evil. I mean, you're kind of evil. No, I'm just kidding. Listen, I get it. We live in a country where it's easy to accumulate nice things. I'm not trying to make that point. What I am trying to say is that we are all guilty of craving the kind of things that we plainly see in front of us. We go searching for that which is already right there in front of us. It's easily found. It's paraded in front of us. It's advertised to us. And all of those things have shelf lives and expiration dates. We know that it will be something we can't even buy a laptop today and see how long you can keep that laptop before you start feeling like that laptop is not good enough. Buy a cell phone and you're going to want the next model that comes out in 18 months because you're going to just feel stupid carrying the most recent model. We love chasing after things that can be measured in dollars or in important titles. We love chasing after the things that we believe will make us feel better and happier and safer and more content and more influential and more liked and happier and will maybe fill the hole inside of us. You see, we have to change what we're searching for. We're searching for all the wrong things when we start our day in pursuit of more money so that we can buy more things and save more money and do all of those things. We are investing in a world that has an expiration date. And so here's the question I want you to ask yourself tomorrow morning when you get up. Ask yourself this question: what will I search for today? What thing or things will I search for today? That's worth writing down so you can ask yourself that question. Number two, to discover and experience what's hidden from me, I need to, secondly, change who I let into my search party. Change who I let into my search party. I'm going to say a date, December 18th, 2003. Probably doesn't mean anything to you, but the story might. A judge sentenced a man named Gary Ridgway, who was also known as the Green River Killer, to 48 life sentences without parole, plus another 480 years on top of that for the 48 victims that Gary Ridgway pleaded guilty to murdering. Now, you may remember that story. It was all over the news for a long, long time. But what you may not remember was that that serial killer, Gary Ridgway, was actually found by, I should say it this way, the FBI and law enforcement was assisted in finding him by none other than the world-famous, notorious, infamous serial killer, Ted Bundy. He was responsible for leading them to Gary Ridgway. And it's not because he knew Ridgway at all. He wasn't even familiar intimately with the crime or the file that the police had. How did he help them find a serial killer? Well, unlike all of the investigators and the police and all of those volunteers who had been searching for the Green River Killer, Ted Bundy was the only one who actually thought like a serial killer. He planned like a serial killer. He acted like a serial killer. Why? Because he was a serial killer. Now you're thinking, What is the point to that morbidly fascinating, interesting story? Here's the point. Those who you spend life with, those who you spend your time with, those who you spend your days searching with are going to steer you to those things that you find. They are part of your search party, and they will, with their thinking, with their behavior, with their logic, with their processing, with their priorities, with their dreams, with what drives them, they're going to lead you to something. The question is, what are they going to lead you to? Now, there are two really important groups of people that you need to avoid searching with at all costs. When you go out to find the most important things in your life, you need to avoid these two groups of people. And here's a spoiler alert, they're both blind. Both of these groups are blind. Listen to 2 Corinthians 4, 3 through 4. The good news, this is Paul, and he's telling the church that there are those who are going to reject the good news, the gospel, the most important thing, and he goes on to say why. The good news that we tell people may be hidden. It may be hard to find, but it's hidden only to those who were lost, only to those who aren't looking in the right place. The ruler of this world has blinded, circle that, the minds of those who don't believe. They cannot see the light of the good news. They can't even see it, the message about the divine greatness of Christ. They don't acknowledge that Jesus is God, that Jesus is who he says he is. Christ is the one who is exactly like God. I've run across videos recently where people are just saying, Jesus never claimed to be God. Of course he did. It's just that people are blind to the truth that Jesus is who he says he is, and he can do what he says he can do. So if you're wanting to discover the goodness, the grace, the forgiveness, the mercy, the tenderness, the blessings, the favor, the wisdom, and the truth of God, don't go searching for those things. In your marriage, in your finances, in your workplace, in all the places we live our life and we search for value and we search for those things, don't look for the grace of God in anything that you're doing with those who are blind to goodness, salvation, grace, mercy, tenderness, kindness, the forgiveness and truth of God. You see, because in each one of those things I just mentioned, in your marriage, in your finances, in the world that you live, God has put in there value. God has put inside of each moment of your life something important, something meaningful, something eternal. It's just that we are so captivated by the shininess, by the glimmer and glare of all that's beautiful around us and that we can touch and feel and measure and put dollars on, that we miss those things. And so you have to be careful that you are not going through life being led by those who are not even followers of Christ. But there's another group, and this group, I think, is even more dangerous. Here's why. Because they act like they are following Christ, like you are aspiring to follow Christ. And so it would feel as if they're going to lead you to Christ-likeness, but Jesus himself actually warns against these people in Matthew 15, 14. Stay away from the Pharisees. Pharisees were these religious experts, but they themselves were mostly unchanged by what they said they knew, by what they said they believed. They were not godly, even though they knew all the rules of godliness. Stay away from the Pharisees. They lead people, sure, but they are like blind men leading other blind men. And if a blind man leads another blind man, both of them will fall into a ditch. Jesus said there's two people that are going to fail you, those who don't believe at all and those who don't get it. They're all about following the rules. Jesus was teaching his disciples the difference between things that actually mattered, what it actually mattered to search for, and things that don't matter at all in us pursuing a life that pleases God. The Pharisees loved to focus on doing things, behaviors and tasks and rules to follow, the outward things that make us look like we're pleasing God, that make us look like we're right with God, instead of actually searching our hearts and building our spirits so that we will actually follow God and become like Christ. The Pharisees were all bugged by the fact that people wouldn't ceremonially wash their hands before eating, or they would eat a particular kind of food, a shellfish or pork or something that was forbidden by the law, and Jesus had to set them straight. Jesus said, oh my gosh, you're so worried about the outside of the cup being clean that you don't care that the inside of the cup is filthy. You're so worried about the fact that you're going to not wash your hands and something bad's going to go into you. By eating pork, you're defiling yourself spiritually. Jesus said it's what comes out of your mouth, not what goes into you and passes through you and goes into the toilet that defiles you. He said that just moves through you. That won't defile you. He said it's what comes out of you that lives inside of you, the evil things that we say and do to each other. That's what defiles you. And so it's of the utmost importance that you and I invite the right people into our search party. And so that's the next question you should write down to ask yourself tomorrow morning is, who will be in my search party today as I go pursuing the invisible things that I can't see with my eyes, but I can find with my spirit, the things that really matter? Who will help me find those today? And finally, number three is this: to discover and experience what's hidden from me, I need to change my search engine. Change my search engine. In 2019, the Wall Street Journal wrote an expose article that exposed Google and their track record for manipulating their search engine results. Everybody's used Google. You start typing into that line, and then it brings up hundreds, if not thousands, sometimes even millions of search results. And they found that in all of their search results, they were favoring big business, and they were burying small, insignificant businesses deep down, way, way down into the search. The article also showed that Google was manipulating the autocomplete. So, you know, you start typing 1, 2, 3 letters, and it begins to finish that for you, the autocomplete. So you type one word, and then it will do all of these suggested search criteria for you. They were actually manipulating that to remove sensitive subjects, things like abortion and immigration. Now, that's a pretty important finding. That means that the planet's largest and most used search engine was misleading people by directing us to the things that they, Google, wanted us to see instead of discovering the truths that we were looking for. Now, before we get our torches and our pitchforks and we go down to the Bay Area and we storm the Google headquarters, it's important that we recognize that we're all guilty of doing on a smaller level what they do on a much larger level. Listen to 1 Corinthians 2:14. People who do not have God's Spirit do not accept the things that come from the Spirit. We want to steer away from that. When we are not guided by the Spirit, we don't accept truth that comes from the Spirit. They think these things are foolish. They cannot understand them because they can only be understood with the Spirit's help. Simply put, our flesh is the search engine that will always distort and mislead us to look for whatever agrees with our flesh, whatever pleases our flesh, whatever indulges our flesh or complements our flesh or soothes our flesh or builds up our flesh. You see, your flesh wants to maintain your vision, your dreaming, your pursuit of, your search for things that keep the flesh alive. But Jesus says in John 14 that those who want to please God can't be and won't be driven by the flesh. They have to be driven by the Holy Spirit. John 14, 15 through 17 says, if you love me, then show it by doing what I've told you to do. I'll talk to the Father and he'll provide you with another friend, capital F, so that you will always have someone with you. And you say, well, who's the friend? You'll always have someone with you. The search engine will always be with you. This friend is the Spirit of Truth, capital S, capital T. It's the Holy Spirit. The godless world can't take him in because it doesn't have eyes to see him, doesn't know what to even look for. But you know him already. You see, if you've been following Jesus, then you already know the presence and the voice and the kindness and the direction and the conviction of the Holy Spirit, because He has been staying with you and will even be in you. You see, Jesus said, I'm going away. I'm not going to be here with you anymore. But when I go to the Father, I'm going to ask that He sends you the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will not just be with you. He will be in you, and He will guide you in your search to find the things that matter. And so I'm closing with this question. This is the third and probably most important question you can ask yourself every single day. Holy Spirit, will you help me search for God's will today, God's heart today, and to experience God's presence today in my life? That's my prayer. That's my search criteria. That's who I want guiding me in my search for what matters. Hebrews 11:6 says this, without faith, no one can please God. You have to start with putting something in, believing that the search will pay off. Because listen, anyone who comes to God must believe that He's real. You got to start with believing there is a God, and that the God of the Bible says He is this thing, and you say, I believe You are that, and that He rewards those who truly want to find Him. So here's the great news. As we go on this journey of searching together, know that God always rewards those who earnestly search Him out. And you're going to be surprised at how many times you find God in a moment of difficulty, in a moment of tragedy, in a moment of happiness, in a moment where you don't even expect to find Him, His Spirit, His presence, His blessing, His favor, His mercy, His love for someone, His love for you, for all the things that genuinely, truly matter. And last, God's always going to reward those who go searching for the invisible. Father, thank You for today. Thank You for every believer and unbeliever and seeker who is chasing after You, who's searching for You. For those of us who are already followers of Christ, who want to see You more in our lives, who want to see You in the hidden things, God, that we are not yet seeing in our lives, that we haven't yet discovered in our lives. And for those who are not yet followers of Christ, as they seek You and search for You, that they would find You. And we're all going to move closer to You. And I believe that by faith in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys. And hey, I'm looking forward to seeing all of you who are going to Summit Life Camp. And for those who aren't, don't worry, we're going to be right here at the online campus with you next week. God bless you guys.